I'm sure you have had the opportunity, as I have had, to try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone of great learning. I have, over the years of presenting the gospel to families and individuals and young people and moms and dads, found that one of the most difficult things is to make the gospel of Jesus Christ simple enough so that a profound mind can understand it. But when you sit down with a man who has been schooled in the philosophies of this life and he has been long at the books of this world's wisdom, to help him understand the gospel is perhaps the most difficult assignment any evangelist will ever receive. Oh, it's not that when we learn so much, the gospel no longer makes sense. But with our much learning, we are unable anymore to understand simple solutions to complex problems. And the simple solution to the complex problem of man and his sin is summarized in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to provide for us the answer to our need. For you see, the wisdom of God is to make the gospel so simple that a child can understand, and yet at the same time, the great intellects of the world stumble over it. And that's what this passage is all about. It contrasts the way man looks at his world and the gospel as opposed to the way God looks at it. In essence, it's talking about God's foolishness and man's wisdom. It teaches us how we are to approach the preaching of the Word of God, how we are to communicate it, and how God expects it to be understood. It's not the multiplied words of wisdom that bring Jesus Christ down to man in preaching and in speaking, but it is the simple word of the cross. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ in simplicity. My friend, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and received the word of the cross, it is not true for me to say of you that someday you will perish. It is true for me to say of you, you are presently perishing. And on the other hand, it says that when the word of the cross is received, it is a saving word, and it is to those who are being saved the power of God. Those who reject the word are perishing. Those who receive the word are being saved. You see, it's not reformation that God is after. It's salvation. And that brings us from the word of the cross to the wisdom of the cross. Paul writes, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe and where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Now, Paul quotes in the 19th verse a passage from the Old Testament, and the passage is from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 14. We don't have time to look back there, but let me just tell you what that passage is all about. In that particular setting from which Paul quotes in the 19th verse, a king was engaged in a serious matter, and he had gathered all of his wise men and counselors together and had asked for their wisdom. And the wisdom that they gave to him was diametrically opposed to the wisdom that God gave to him. And this is the passage that we read. It is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will put to naught that which is the scribes, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And it's an illustration that the greatest wisdom that the world can offer, if it runs across the grain of what God says, is simply foolishness, because God is in charge of the wisdom department. And he can take the wisdom of the wise and make it foolishness. In fact, is that not what God has done in this generation? It says at the end of verse 20, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" It's not hard to trace the failure of human wisdom in our generation, is it? It's everywhere apparent. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 tell us that professing to be wise, we have become fools. When we reject God's wisdom, we come to absolute folly. And the world today in which you and I live is filled with illustrations of how God has taken the wisdom of this world and he's made it into foolishness. You see, God says if we take responsibility for our own sin and our own conduct, there's a way to get well. But if we keep pushing it off on somebody else, whether it's in this generation or the past generation or the one after that, all we're doing is compounding the problem and making it so complex we can never get on the outside of it. God says it's foolishness. That's the wisdom of the cross. The Bible says it so beautifully. To us who are saved, it is the power of God. That's what this book teaches. Let me note with you briefly the third thing, the witness of the cross. And Paul writes in verse 22, and he says, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. When Paul wrote this, there were only two nationalities that were generally understood, and that was the Jews and the Greeks, or the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul said that the wisdom of the cross to the Jews was not palatable because they didn't want a crucified Savior. They wanted a Savior who would come as their champion Messiah, their Superman, and would right them and set them free from Roman dominion. And so when they heard that their Jesus, their Messiah, had come and he was headed to the cross, the wisdom of the cross to them, according to the scripture, was a stumbling block, a trap door, so to speak. When they rejected Christ, it spelled their death. And as we know from our study of the Bible, when they received him not, as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to receive. The Greeks didn't want the kind of Jesus that came when Jesus came to this earth. The Greeks were intellectuals. They were the ones who were looking for someone who would stimulate them logically, someone who was so far beyond the normal intelligence that only the aristocracy would be able to understand and receive him. And so to him, who was a Greek, steeped in the intellectualism of his day, the gospel of the word of the cross was foolishness. I mean, who ever heard of anything like that? Just believe and you can be saved. I mean, it's too easy. Blaise Pascal once said that the chief reason for reason is to help us understand the limits of reason. He was right. There's lots of things I don't understand that I still believe. I don't understand the law of gravity. I mean, intuitively, so that I can put it all together. I mean, I've learned about it, but I still don't understand it. But I haven't jumped out any third-story windows lately because I really do believe in the law. I don't understand all that's wrapped up in electricity. I mean, you know, I can't see it, can't observe it. I can study it in the laboratory, but you can't see it. But I haven't put my fingers in any sockets lately because I believe in the law of electricity. I don't understand, folks, all there is to know about God and Christ and salvation, but I believe it. And I can tell you, having believed it, it's changed my life. It's the simple word of the cross. Because you see, this is the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. I don't know about you, but I've bet my life on it.